What's going on, everyone? This is the Fantasy Playbook Podcast. My name is Kyle Yates, and I am your host. I can be found on Twitter at KyleYNFL. I am joined today by my very good friend, Garrett Price of Dynasty Nerds. He can be found on Twitter at Dynasty Price. Garrett, we were talking about this before we started recording. You and I haven't done a show together since, I think, NFL Draft Night, and that was way too long for us to go without doing a show together, so I had to get you back on the podcast. How are you today, my friend?
I'm doing good. Yeah. Normally we do, a couple things a year. I usually try to at least get you once on the Dynasty Nerds YouTube and doing stuff. But yeah, it's been a minute. But I think, you know, after the marathon that is the NFL draft, it just probably felt like we had done a lot more together.
I think so. I think so. That was a hectic and chaotic time. That is for sure. And it feels like an absolute lifetime ago. It was only like 4 months ago, but yet right. So much has happened since then. All right, let's get into it. Let's waste no time here. Let's get into the latest news here presented by Sleeper, taking a look at some things that have happened since the recording of the last podcast. Join millions of players today and download the Sleeper app to stay on top of all the latest and breaking news in the NFL. Let's kick it off here with Kadarius Toney, the wide receiver for the New York Giants, did not participate in team drills Wednesday with what is believed to be a hamstring injury. Only 10 games played last year for the first round pick for the New York Giants, dealing with injury yet again already, especially with a hamstring injury. This is not what you want to hear here for a guy who has all the talent in the world and showed that he can be a very, very valuable fantasy asset when he's on the field, but he's got to be on the field. This is concerning. We'll keep an eye on it as we move forward. ESPN's Rich Cimini writes that Michael Carter is, quote, still RB1 for the Jets. Garrett, there's a spot in ADP where you come up on the running backs and it's like David Montgomery, Josh Jacobs, Antonio Gibson, Breece Hall, all these players, and I feel like I just want to completely throw up whenever I see all the names in that range now. Does this concern you for Breece Hall from a redraft perspective here with Michael Carter still being, quote, the RB1 here in New York?
Not overly. We see this every year with some of the top backs where, I remember back in the day when, Chester Taylor was ahead of Adrian Peterson and, you know, he was the RB1 and, you know, Marlon Mack was ahead of Jonathan Taylor. And, you know, we see this often. And look, could there be more of a timeshare at the beginning of the year? Absolutely could be. But I think by the end of the year, when it counts playoff time, he's going to be the main featured back in that offense. And I think we're going to be seeing around 70% of the touches for him in the second half of the year.
I think with Breece Hall, this is something where, you know, just based on the nature of the running back position, he's still worth taking a shot on at that ADP. But it does signal to me that Michael Carter needs to be higher up in ADP, someone that you do need to be taking a look at later on in your drafts, especially in full PPR formats. Speaking Wednesday, Cowboys owner Jerry Jones indicated Michael Gallup will avoid the reserve/pup list and will be available over the course of the first 4 weeks of the season. If you land on the pup, you're out for the first 4 weeks of the season. This is signaling that Michael Gallup probably not going to be back week 1, week 2. But week 3, week 4, it's in the range of outcomes here that Gallup is back on the field for an offense that desperately is going to need him. Gallup is looking like a steal at his current ADP, where you can stash him and just let him sit on your bench, and you potentially have a top 30 wide receiver when he is back healthy and on the field. NFL Network's Ian Rappaport reports that Tyron Smith, the left tackle for the Dallas Cowboys, suffered an avulsion fracture in his knee and will be out until at least December. Another report said that this was something where, like, the hamstring tore off the bone for Tyron Smith. Like, oh, my word, makes my, you know, skin crawl just hearing that. This is really unfortunate for such a talented player there. Does at least affect Ezekiel Elliott from a little bit. Maybe caps the upside there a little bit because Tyron Smith is just such a mauler on the offensive line. Tyler Smith, their first round pick, is going to be asked to step into a much larger role this year. We'll see if he can deliver. All right. Again, that was the latest news presented by Sleeper. Join millions of players today and download the Sleeper app to stay on top of all the latest and breaking news in the NFL. It is not too late to get into the premium content over at the Fantasy Playbook. For $10 a month, you can get access to a ton of exclusive content here. Let me run through some of what that entails. My overall dynasty rankings, 2022 redraft rankings, 2022 premium projections, where you can literally see my entire process for how I come to conclusions on players, big board rankings, and then premium articles such as buy low, sell high for dynasty, startup sleepers, startup bust for dynasty, startup values, top 100, 2022 premium player notes, redraft busts, sleepers, values, breakouts, bounce back players. And then we just launched this new section of the site, premium research and advanced reports. This is absolutely incredible, the amount of information that you can have at your fingertips here to prepare for your fantasy football season. Throughout the rest of the month of August, you have the ability to sign up and get a free 5-day trial here for the Fantasy Playbook. $10 a month. Try it out for 5 days. Check it out. You're going to love it. The ffplaybook.com/memberships to get involved there. Also, it is time to think about what you are going to do to take your fantasy football league to the next level. And I've got a recommendation for you here this year. Actually, if you're watching on YouTube, youtube.com/fantasyplaybook, I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you this recommendation here. This is how you take your league to the next level right here. Go over to Trophy Smack and get yourself an absolute beautiful trophy or championship belt here. TrophySmack.com. When you sign up with the code Playbook, when you check out with the code Playbook, you are going to, for any championship or belt here, you're going to get one of these absolutely free. A championship ring here, $60 value, absolutely free. TrophySmack.com to make sure that your league gets taken to the next level this year with a championship belt or trophy, and you get a free championship ring in the process. What's not to love? All right, Garrett, let's get into this mock draft here today. This might be, actually, I was thinking about this before we started recording here. This actually might be my most favorite format for fantasy football. Full PPR, super flex mock draft here today on the channel, on the podcast. So what we're going to do, this is a 12-team league. Again, full PPR, super flex format, quarterback, two running back, three wide receivers, tight end, one normal flex spot. Then we have that super flex spot, which if you are tuning in, you don't know what super flex is. It has the ability to play a quarterback in that spot. So it ups the value of the quarterback position there. And then we got six bench spots here. No defense, no kicker. Let's kick this off here. You are drafting at the 1-3 spot. I've got the 1-11, 12-team format. You ready to kick this off?
I think so, man.
Let's get to it. All right. Let's start this draft here over on Sleeper. All right, Jonathan Taylor off the board at the 1-1. Then we got Josh Allen off the board at the 1-2. You are now on the clock at the 1-3. Where are we going?
And just to clarify, this is redraft, right?
This is redraft. Yep.
Okay, just making sure. And it does change things a little bit as we go. But early on, I got to get quarterback. That's kind of why I liked that 1-3 spot, because I knew I was going to be able to get one of those top end quarterbacks. And it's really, really close this year. Between Mahomes and Herbert, I'm still going to go with Mahomes. I still like the opportunity that we have in this. Oh, wow. And I'm just hearing wow over and over again. Wow. Here, I'm going to have to mute that. It's blowing up in my ears. But I like the opportunity that he has this year, something that we haven't seen before, where this division is going to be a lot closer than it's ever been. It's always been close for Herbert. It hasn't been close for Patrick Mahomes. So I think he's going to throw a little more at the end of games, going to have to be in some tighter situations where they're competing at the very end to make plays. So I'm going to go with Mahomes just a hair over Justin Herbert.
Obviously, you have to take into account Tyreek Hill no longer in town here in Kansas City, but what's weighing in Patrick Mahomes' favor is the fact that this division got a lot more competitive here this offseason. So you're going to see some shootout performances here. That definitely gives a little bit of a tiebreaker there for Patrick Mahomes. I don't think you can go wrong with any of these top tier quarterbacks, right? Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, they're, you know, nitpicking here. It's tiebreakers there, but Patrick Mahomes off the board at the 1-3. Then we got Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, Cooper Kupp at the 1-7, Christian McCaffrey at the 1-8, Kyler Murray at the 1-9, and then Austin Eckler off the board at the 1-10. I'm on the clock at the 1-11 here. Justin Jefferson is still available on the board for me, and that is a no-brainer selection for me here. I do have the opportunity at that turn to come back and get a quarterback here, but I'll take Justin Jefferson off the board here. My wide receiver won this year in a full PPR format. No-brainer selection there. Ja'Marr Chase, then Najee Harris off the board at the 2-1, team 12, punting the quarterback position. You'll love to see it, because it played out for me here to go with Jalen Hurts at the 2-2. Nice. I am very high on Jalen Hurts this year. Last year, that was not the case. I did not think that Jalen Hurts was worth investing in at his ADP. This year, you got A.J. Brown in town, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert. If Jalen Hurts can improve and take steps forward as a passer, which still remains to be seen, but we know that the floor is there to provide some very, very safe and reliable fantasy output week in and week out. So Justin Jefferson there, Jalen Hurts at the 2-2 to start out my draft. I am not going to run through every single pick here on the podcast. So if you want to see these picks play out, you can see the draft board over at youtube.com/thefantasyplaybook. Garrett, you are now on the clock here at the 2-10 after going Patrick Mahomes at the 1-3. What's your thought process here?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Joe Mixon here. Had an awesome season last year. Finished the year as RB4 overall on a PPR or on a points per game basis. He was even a little bit higher. But love Joe Mixon. used all over the place. There's still a little bit of a question as is he truly the third down back or not? But honestly, I don't really care. They improved that offensive line. It's an ascending offense, and he should absolutely feast this year. And I think he's the last running back in a tier for me. So I was excited to get him there.
Absolutely. I love that value. Joe Mixon at the 210. Absolutely. I mean, as RB 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 off the board. Yeah, that you got to take Joe Mixon there. All right. Stephon Diggs, Mark Andrews, Matthew Stafford, Tom Brady off the board around that turn. You're back on the clock here at the 3-3. Is this the point where you're looking at another quarterback or potentially looking at balancing out that roster, getting a wide receiver here?
You know, normally I'm a big wide receiver guy in Dynasty, but in redraft, I don't go typically as heavy at wide receiver. And there's one guy that I think is a true difference maker. I think there's three tight ends this year that are going to be legitimate difference makers, and two of them are gone in Travis Kelce and Mark Andrews. So I'm going to take the youngster Kyle Pitts here at 3-3.
Any concern there with Marcus Mariota, Desmond Ridder, or is the talent just too good to move him down the draft board there?
Yeah, I think the talent's just too good. If he had a capable quarterback, he'd probably be going at the end of the first round. But the questions at quarterback are going to push him down a little bit. But there's just not a lot else there. You have a rookie in Drake London that we're hoping really emerges this year. But he's the only established offense player in this offense that you really get excited about. So I think the talent's just too good.
I've been talking a lot about this already this offseason, but as the NFL season is now 2 weeks away, it's time to get excited and get involved in some NFL futures action over on PrizePicks. Getting started is super easy. Head over to prizepicks.com and sign up with the promo code FFPlaybook. That's going to get you a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Then you pick 2 to 5 players and an over-under on their projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. It's just you versus the projected numbers. From time to time, I'll go on PrizePicks and just see what some of the props are currently and see if there are any that stand out to me. Not only does PrizePicks have some awesome week 1 and week 3 of the preseason props out, but they have a ton to choose from with NFL futures. Two that stand out to me immediately that I was racing to put some money on were DeVonta Smith's prop of 875.5 receiving yards and Alan Lazard's prop of 750.5. Smith is supremely talented, but unless something happens to AJ Brown in this low passing volume offense, I don't see how he crosses over that threshold. Additionally, Lazard is the wide receiver 1 in this offense now, and he should see a ton of targets from Aaron Rodgers this season. Yes, he only had 513 receiving yards in 2021 in 15 games, but that was just on 60 targets. 100+ targets is well within the range of outcomes for Lazard this year, which makes his prop an easy over selection for me. From there, it's just a few clicks and you're ready to roll for 2022. Get involved in the incredibly easy way to play some over-unders and the opportunity to win 10 times on any entry over at prizepicks.com with the code FFPlaybook. Again, that's the code FFPlaybook to get a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. All right, I am now on the clock here at the 311, and this is where the strategy comes into play here a little bit. Alvin Kamara is still here on the board for me at the 311. However, it is worth noting that Team 12, who is going to be picking the two picks before I come back around onto the clock at the 4-2, does not have a quarterback yet. So I have Trey Lance still available on the board. I can almost guarantee that Lance is going to go off the board here at either the 312 or the 4-1. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to leave Team 12 to reach on some of these other quarterbacks. I'm going to get Trey Lance here off the board at the 311 to be my QB2 in a super flex format. Feels like cheating there a little bit. Jalen Hurts and Trey Lance, all the rushing upside. I will gladly take it. And Team 12, I was wrong. They are just completely punting quarterback. Wow. Not even looking at it. They go Tyreek Hill there, then Alvin Kamara off the board at the 4-1. So the strategy did not play out for me as I had hoped. Alvin Kamara would have loved to grab him here at the 4-2, goes off the board at the 4-1. That's incredible, incredible value there for Kamara this year, especially in a full PPR format. All right. Justin Jefferson, Jalen Hurts, Trey Lance to start my draft. I'm back on the clock here at the 4-2. The running backs that I'm looking at here are guys like Javonte Williams, James Conner, Breece Hall, Ezekiel Elliott, Cam Akers, Travis Etienne. Take a look at the wide receiver position here. I got Mike Evans, AJ Brown, Keenan Allen, T. Higgins, Michael Pittman Jr. Man, those are some solid wide receivers here. But I don't want to, let this running back position continue to bypass me here. I'm going to grab Ezekiel Elliott here. I am very high on Zeke this year. I think that what we saw last year can be directly correlated to playing through that partially torn PCL. Is Zeke going to be as efficient as he was his rookie year, his second year in the NFL this year? Probably not. The Tyron Smith issue, the injury probably doesn't help things. But yet the volume, the scoring opportunities, and the target workload, the target share there is going to be too much to ignore and not return value here on the 4-2 in draft. So I'm still very high on Zeke this year. Think he's going to be a guy that's going to score 10-plus rushing touchdowns, and you're not going to find that here very easily in the fourth round of drafts. All right, you are back on the clock here at the 410. You went Patrick Mahomes, Joe Mixon, Kyle Pitts. Where are we going here at the 410?
I'm really struggling with this pick, and it's down between two players. One guy that I absolutely love this year is Michael Pittman Jr. I've been talking about him incessantly, and it seems like everyone else is now at that point too, where they're buying the hype, they're all in. So if you didn't get him earlier in the year, you're gonna have to pay a little bit more. So he is pretty expensive right now. But I'm struggling because I really don't want to let this guy, and I'm going to end up taking him. I don't want to let Kirk Cousins pass me up here, because quarterback gets kind of gross there, at some point. And I love Kirk Cousins upside this season. That offense is an ascending offense. He was already quarterback 11 last year. And with another year of Justin Jefferson, and then the new offensive, game plan around Kevin O'Connell, I think that they're really going to be throwing the ball more. I think that's only going to lead to goodness for Kirk Cousins. And I got lucky. Michael Pittman Jr. ended up still being on the board here at my next pick at 5-3. So I get my wide receiver one as well.
I love the start to this draft for you, man. Kirk Cousins there at the 410. You talked about that quarterback position and how it drops off there. After Kirk Cousins, it's Justin Fields, Tua Tagovailoa, Trevor Lawrence, Matt Ryan, Mac Jones, Jameis Winston, Ryan Tannehill. Those are the top available quarterbacks there for you. So getting that last guy who I think is in the QB1 discussion, or at least in that territory there, Kirk Cousins to pair with Patrick Mahomes. Love the strategy there. And then to come back and get Michael Pittman Jr., that's an absolute steal there, right? Top 12 guy for me. You get him as your wide receiver one. You've really balanced out this roster pretty well. Mahomes, Mixon, Kyle Pitts, Kirk Cousins, Michael Pittman Jr. throughout the first five rounds. Loving the start to your draft. All right, I'm back on the clock here at the 5-11. I've got Justin Jefferson, Jalen Hurts, Trey Lance, Zeke off the board here. Let me see, looking at the running back position, and this is where it gets pretty gross. We got the Antonio Gibson, J.K. Dobbins, Elijah Mitchell, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Kenneth Walker. Let's take a look at wide receiver Jalen Waddle, Deontay Johnson, Mike Williams, Marquise Brown. There are some names there that I think I can get back around that turn. I'm going to go here with A.J. Dillon. Dillon is someone that I am very high on for this upcoming season. Think that he has some standalone value here in this Green Bay Packers offense. I think we're going to see a ton of two running back sets here this year for Green Bay with the uncertainty at the wide receiver core, right? You're going to have, I think Aaron Rodgers is pushing to have Sammy Watkins, Alan Lazard, and Randall Cobb out there as your starting wide receiver trio in week one. That's probably not going to get it done. So involving A.J. Dillon, involving Aaron Jones out of the backfield here is the recipe for success for Green Bay. And then the upside, if something does happen, God forbid, to Aaron Jones, that upside is through the roof. So Antonio Gibson, Elijah Mitchell off the board around that turn. Let's go back to the wide receiver position. I'm going to reach, quote unquote, reach a little bit here, but this is where Allen Robinson should absolutely be going off the board. Allen Robinson here at the beginning of the sixth round in a full PPR Superflex format. I think this is still a bit of a value, and I had to go down the draft board here in Sleeper's ADP to get him. Allen Robinson has all the upside in the world this year in LA. We spent a lot of time talking about Allen Robinson in the early part of August, and then I have heard next to nothing about him here recently, and I think that's a mistake, and I think that we need to continue talking about Robinson and his upside here. So to pair him with Justin Jefferson, Allen Robinson at wide receiver 16 in my half PPR rankings last time I checked. It's moving all over the place every single day, but Allen Robinson there is someone that I'm very high on for this upcoming season. All right, you're back on the clock here at the 610. You've really done a good job of balancing out that roster. You don't have to go in any sort of specific direction, but where are we going here?
Yeah, this is tough because we have four teams in this mock that already in round six have four running backs and several other teams with three. So it got to the point where as much as I really wanted a running back here, when J.K. Dobbins just went two picks before me, I have to pivot. There's just not the value there that I would want at the running back position. So I'm going to go with another guy that's actually being hyped quite a bit right now. And I think it's justified in Cortland Sutton. New offense, you get Russell Wilson there. I think he could absolutely feast this year. A lot of other receivers, Deontay Johnson, Trevor Lawrence just went, and then Jerry Jeudy and Amon-Ra St. Brown. So puts me in a very similar spot with only being a few picks away to where the running back situation and landscape hasn't changed much. If I don't take one here, though, I am really just kind of going hero RB and just taking the one RB early on. I don't love doing that in redraft, but at some point you just have to go with the value. And I'm going to take Brandon Cooks here. Every year he ends up being that high end to mid wide receiver two, but you can get him much later in drafts. I get him as my wide receiver three here, and he's really the only show in town. We're hoping Nico Collins shows up. We'll see. But right now, Brandon Cooks is about as good of a lock as you can get to be a top 24 receiver at this point in the draft.
I think 140 targets is well within the range of outcomes here for Brandon Cooks this year, and you got him as your wide receiver three. So if Sutton, for some reason, doesn't hit or whatever, like, you have the safe option there with Brandon Cooks to be able to pivot to and support that, right? So Cortland Sutton, you might get some big boom weeks here or there, might let you down, but Brandon Cooks is going to be that steady and solid, reliable option there for you as your wide receiver three. Love that pick there at the 7-3. All right, I'm back up at the 7-11, and this is an easy selection here for me because you look at the running back position, it's Ken Walker, who we don't know if he's even going to be out there week one. Miles Sanders, we don't know if he's going to be out there week one. Damian Harris, I don't want to go anywhere near that New England Patriots backfield. And then you get into Tony Pollard, Kareem Hunt, like, the value's not there. Wide receiver position, though, Gabe Davis is there on the board for me. These are two of my guys this year at the wide receiver position that I get. Allen Robinson, then coming back here at the 7-11, Gabe Davis. I've been all in on these two guys the entire offseason. Have been hyping them up, acquiring them everywhere that I can this year. Allen Robinson, Gabe Davis here. Gabe Davis to be my wide receiver three. There is some massive upside there for him. Matt Ryan goes off the board at the 7-12, then Dallas Goedert at the 8-1. Let me take a look at the tight end position here as I am back on the clock at the 8-2. Don't really love any of these names here. Zach Ertz, Dawson Knox, Pat Freiermuth, Mike Gesicki, certainly not. So I'm going to let that position continue to fall. Let me go back to the wide receiver position. I got Drake London, Devontae Smith, DeAndre Hopkins, Hunter Renfro there as some of the top names available. Running back, we just talked about that with the uncertainty there. I don't think there's any value there for me. I'm going to wait just a little bit longer. Let me take a look at the quarterback position here. That QB3 spot on your super flex roster is still very, very important to fill here as we get into the 7th, 8th, 9th round of your drafts. Jameis Winston is kind of that last guy. I know he's dealing with a little bit of an injury, but it sounds like he's going to be out there week one. He is kind of that last guy that I feel comfortable with as that QB3 that I think has top 15 upside this year. So once we get past that, you're into Mac Jones. What's the upside here in New England? Then you're in Ryan Tannehill. I feel like that ship has kind of sailed a little bit. Then you're into Zach Wilson and Deshaun Watson, Daniel Jones. Like, these are guys that gets pretty gross there. So Jameis Winston as a QB3 on my roster is absolutely where I want to be. Get him here at the 8-2, especially when there wasn't a lot of value there at the running back or wide receiver positions. All right, you're now on the clock. You're at the 8-10.
Ugh, I do not like this at all. This is a really gross range of players. And the player that I would probably be the most interested in taking would be Drake London, but I'm not really wanting to pair him up since I already have Kyle Pitts. So I do not at all love this range. But at this point, I'm going to probably have to take a running back. I wanted to wait even maybe a little bit longer, but I do think Kareem Hunt is one of the safe options. And with a team full of upside like I have with Joe Mixon and Pitts and Pittman and Sutton, I do need somebody that's probably going to be a safe, steady Eddie for me. So I'll go ahead and take Kareem Hunt here. Let's see what comes back. Ertz, Thielen, Renfro, Singletary. Ugh. that was a little mean. Sorry, Devin Singletary. Hopefully you're not watching. But, man, I think I'm going to go back to the running back well. There is a player that I think has some really, really good upside. I did take somebody a little safer in Kareem Hunt, and we never know how a Shanahan scheme is going to work out. But Mike McCarthy, we're loving what he's doing with the running backs and all the reports out of camp that Chase Edmonds looks like he could really be that guy. So I'm going to go with Chase Edmonds and hope the PPR upside is really there.
Yeah, I think you're looking at what Mike McDaniel's bringing in there in Miami. The ability to put players in the best position to succeed, I think, is what we're going to see here. And Chase Edmonds, probably not just going to be a guy who lines up completely out in the backfield and, you know, runs routes out of there. I think he's going to be moved around the formation. You get really creative there with Edmonds, with Tyreek Hill, with Jalen Waddle there. So Chase Edmonds there could absolutely return value at the 9-3, especially with the way that you constructed your draft here. And I think this is important to talk about. When you did go with that hero running back strategy where you took that running back early on, you got to throw darts. You got to load up on that running back position here in those mid to late rounds there. So Chase Edmonds off the board there at the 9-3, totally understand it. Otherwise, I feel like you have to reach a little bit, but yet at the same time, I feel comfortable doing that here where I've only got Zeke and AJ Dillon as running backs on my roster. Let's get Damian Pierce off the board. I am loading up with my guys Love this it. Year. Pierce has been someone that I have been standing on the table for since we found out the landing spot to Houston, saying that he was a late first dynasty rookie draft pick this entire time. And we are now seeing that return value here where Pierce didn't even dress in week two of the NFL preseason. That is unheard of for a rookie running back, right? Especially a fourth round pick, but he has completely blown away this coaching staff. I feel like he has three down a potential and upside here for Houston for a head coach that is not going to be afraid to completely lean on one player if they are getting the job done. I think Pierce is the most talented running back in that room. The scoring upside in Houston, probably not going to be there. Not going to be a guy who's scoring 8, 9, 10 rushing touchdowns this year, but the volume is going to be too hard to ignore. So as an RB3 on my roster here at the 9-11, still feel like that's plenty of value. You're starting to see Damian Pierce. I've done a few mock drafts with people over in the Discord, and he's going in like the 7th, 8th, you know, potentially even 6th round sometimes. So to get him here at the back end of the 9th, I feel very comfortable with that. Let's continue to load up on running back here. Let me just actually just take a peek over at the wide receiver position. Alan Lazard is still there, and that's intriguing for me, tempting for me. But looking at the running back position, we got guys like Melvin Gordon, Alexander Mattison still here, Michael Carter that we talked about earlier. So I'm going to go here with Michael Carter, especially in a full PPR format here. I talked about in the news segment that gap has to be a little bit closer in ADP. And I think Michael Carter in a full PPR format, especially with Joe Flacco in weeks one, week two, whatever that looks like, I think he's going to feast coming right out of the gate. So if Michael Carter does, you know, soak up targets with Joe Flacco there, I could potentially ship off Michael Carter right away and get a lot more return on investment there than the 10-2 pick. So as an RB4 on my roster, comfortable with that selection. You're back up here at the 10-10.
Yeah, I'm going to go. This is somebody that I've been talking about quite a bit. And, you know, at this point, I'm looking for upside. This is really what I'm going for. I'm going for upside. And we've seen running backs on this team. Now, it's been hard to always project who it is, but we've seen running backs on this team absolutely feast in the past. So I'm going to be taking Ramondre Stevenson. Rumor is that he is actually now in line to be the passing down back, which would be huge for his value, because that's somebody that almost always had value was James White. Always had that. But with his size, Ramondre Stevenson looks more like a LeGarrette Blount, who we've seen have upwards of 18 touchdowns in a season. So, you know, it's still going to be a timeshare a little bit with Damian Harris. But the rumors are that they're trying to move on from Harris, and they really like Ramondre. So I think at this point, the dart throw, the ceiling for a guy like Stevenson is just absolutely unreal. And then I'm going to get a little stackage going here. I actually wanted to take this guy earlier, but when I saw the ADP, I knew I was going to be able to wait a little bit. And so I'm thrilled to get him here. Give me the wide receiver one for Patrick Mahomes here. Ooh. All the way in the 11th round. I'm going to take Sky Moore. We'll see how much this pays off early, but I don't really need him to pan out early. I need him during fantasy playoff time, and that's when I think that connection is really going to be solid.
I like it there. Sky Moore at the 11-3. You know what I'm going to do here at the 11-11? I'm going to take the wide receiver one for Patrick Mahomes here. I'm going to go with Marquez Valdes-Scantling off the board here at the 11-11. No, listen, I think that Sky Moore is supremely talented. We talked a lot about him in the offseason leading up to the NFL draft. Absolutely loved Sky Moore coming out of Western Michigan. But with Marquez Valdes-Scantling here as a wide receiver four for my roster, I'm going to get those big boom weeks, right? I'm going to get those big performances from MVS as a flex play on my roster. And if he doesn't hit, if the targets go to Sky Moore that week and MVS ends up with a 2-for-20 performance and no touchdowns or whatever, it's not going to crush my lineup because I got him here at the 11-11. I'm playing him as a flex. If I have to rely on him as a wide receiver two for my lineup, okay, that's a little bit of a different conversation, but he's going to have some big performances here this week. Sure. We just don't know when exactly those are going to be. Based on his draft cost here, there's no downside to selecting MVS here for the potential payoff at the 11-11. All right, Jared Goff, Ronald Jones going off the board at the 11-12 and the 12-1. Back on the clock here, and I debated taking this guy here at the 11-11, but he's still here. I'm going to go Nyheim Hines and just wrap up this running back position here for my lineup and take some shots at some high upside wide receivers. And I still got to get a tight end. But I'll go Nyheim Hines here. we're hearing a ton this offseason about Nyheim Hines becoming more involved as a receiver in this offense, not just as a receiver, but becoming more involved in this offense than what happened last year. I don't think that takes away from the upside or the potential of Jonathan Taylor at the RB1 spot. He should be the RB1 off the board. But Nyheim Hines, there is a path for him to step into a slot receiver role here over Paris Campbell because he's been more durable. He has the potential to fill that role. And I think he's going to be utilized here more this year in a full PPR format. There's a strong case to be made for Nyheim Hines returning top 30 value this year, week in and week out. All right, you're here on the clock here at the 12 at 10. You got three selections here left in this draft. Where are we going?
Yeah, I'm going to put this on record. If you are a person that's able to separate everything, I think Deshaun Watson is a very good selection here because second, you know, I guess the last third of the season, more or less, he could end up being a top five fantasy quarterback. I'm not good at separating that stuff, so I'm not taking him. But if you're a person that's able to do that, power to you. However, I am going to go with Davis Mills here. And I get it. It's Davis Mills. That's not very exciting at this point in the draft. But that being said, there is no backup quarterback there that I'm worried about. I think he's safe for this season, and he's going to be able to fill in when I need him to fill in on bye weeks or if there's injuries or different things like that. So at this point, I'm taking Davis Mills, and I feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, Davis Mills off the board there at the 12-10. Some of the other quarterbacks that you would have been choosing between were like Daniel Jones, Marcus Mariota, Baker Mayfield, Mitchell Trubisky. Like at that point, are any of those guys really starting all 17 games? I feel like Davis Mills is at least that last guy where we feel confident that he's going to be the starter for the entire season. That's the guy that you need as a QB3 on your Superflex roster. All right, you're back on the clock here at the 13-3.
It's not very often that you're devastated in round 13, but James Robinson and Tyler Allgeier were literally the two names that I was hoping to take here. I'll still go at the running back position. I'm going to take Kenneth Gainwell. Eagles backfield, absolute mess, absolute dumpster fire. But when we're talking points per touch, Kenneth Gainwell was fantastic last year. Yeah. Top 10 in fantasy points per touch. He was used all over the field, and they have used him quite a bit in the receiving game, and we know the PPR upside is always huge if a guy can get a lot of targets there and used on third down. So I think he's going to be used in that capacity, and I'm going to take the shot that he ends up being the guy in this offense.
Yeah, I think it's worth the investment, especially with the strategy that you went with. Again, you've got to still continue to take those shots with those running backs later on, right? So you've got guys like Kareem Hunt, Chase Edmonds, Ramondre Stevenson. You know, but you still need to invest there when you don't have that proven RB2. Hopefully what you're kind of playing out here is hopefully one of those guys hits and you have that RB2 week in and week out, especially too with Miles Sanders dealing with that injury. We don't know if he's going to be out there week one. There's a case to be made that Kenneth Gainwell should be moving up draft boards. I went with KJ Osborne here at the 13-11. This is the point where I'm taking some high upside wide receivers. This is the point in drafts, the final three rounds. I've been talking about this offseason, but those final three rounds, you're starting to take these guys where if they don't hit right away, you move on from them. These are guys that you can cut easily, but you go with some upside here. Don't take the... Jacoby Myers went off the board at the 14-1. Like, I understand Jacoby Myers could probably lead this team in targets again this year for New England, but what's the upside there? What's the path for upside with Jacoby Myers? Whereas with KJ Osborne, in a three wide receiver set there, which we're going to see a lot more here in Minnesota, there's a path that KJ Osborne could return top 40 value week in and week out. So I'm going to take that same strategy here, go with Isaiah McKenzie at the 14-2. We know that he's the starting slot receiver here in this Buffalo Bills offense. And if you're telling me there's an offense that I can invest in and get a major return on investment here at the 14-2, it would be Buffalo. So I'll go Isaiah McKenzie here, all the upside in the world. You are now on the clock here at the 14-10. You got two final picks here.
Yeah, I don't normally go with two tight ends in a redraft, but there's a player on the board here where... I'll just say it's Robert Tonyan. Right now, he is legitimately the only established piece that we've had seen any sort of success with Aaron Rodgers. Now, Lazard's there. We know Romeo Dubs has been crowned the king of the offseason. And Christian Watson, they took in the second round. So there's players that could really develop. But we've seen Robert Tonyan. He was a top three tight end 2 years ago. He was banged up last year, but Aaron Rodgers has his guys he likes. He likes him in the red zone. And we know, especially with Devontae Adams gone, this is a guy he could look at a ton in the red zone.
Absolutely. I think I've made this case where Aaron Rodgers is throwing for 36 plus passing touchdowns on the year, no matter what, right? So you got to look at them going somewhere. And Robert Tonyan, he's back healthy. He appears to be on track to play week one. there's a path there for Robert Tonyan to smash his value on his ADP. All right, you're on the clock here at the 15-3, your final selection.
Yeah, my final pick here, I am going to go and I'm going to take another upside running back, and it's a player that I've been touting all offseason, and I like him even more in Dynasty than I do redraft, but I'm going to take him anyway here because I like this player, and also I just have no idea what the plan is in Vegas, but this is a guy that was their guy. They drafted him. Josh McDaniels was not a part of this team last year, but when he came in, they decided that they're not going to extend Josh Jacobs into that fifth year. They used him a little more in the preseason than we thought, and Kenyon Drake was just cut, so there's really no established option as the pass catching back. There's just a lot of different paths for Zamir White to be relevant this year, so I'm going to take that upside shot here late in drafts.
Yeah, I think it's worth finding out week one, what's the split look like between Josh Jacobs and Zamir White? If it's a 50-50 split, you hold on to Zamir White because there's some upside there. If it's still, you know, 80-20 Josh Jacobs or whatever, you move on from Zamir White. He's someone exactly. You keep tabs on for, you know, later on in the season there on waiver wires and stuff like that, because he does have upside if he gets the job. You and I both love Zamir White coming out of Georgia last year, but you're going to find out pretty quickly what you have. That's the what you should be doing here with the final picks. All right, so what I'm doing here at the 15-11, I don't have a tight end yet. At this point, when we got into, you know, the 13th, 14th round, it was, okay, there's a lot of tight ends that I can throw darts at late and just see what hits. So my strategy here is either that I take a tight end and one of those guys is Hayden Hurst. Hayden Hurst here in Cincinnati, I think, is a fantastic value pick currently. Or do I go with Isaiah Pacheco and see what happens here over the rest of the remainder of the preseason here? I'm going to do that. At this point, if I'm in the 15th round, what's the reasoning for taking a tight end? Now, I will have to drop someone here at some point to pick up a tight end. Not just going to not roster a tight end as we move into week one. But at this point, when all these guys, it's not going to be a hot commodity there to go and, you know, waiver wire for the tight end position. So I can wait it out. I can see what happens here. But Isaiah Pacheco, if something does happen to Clyde Edwards-Helaire over in week three of the preseason or in training camp, God forbid, or something like that, like if we get news, okay, he's going to be a starter, right? Okay, then I have something here with Pacheco. If not, then I can easily move on from him, or I can cut one of these other guys and go pick up a tight end later on. So there's that strategy that kind of plays out with not taking a kicker or a defense in the final rounds of your draft there. If you are in a league that plays with defense or kickers, tweaking that strategy here just a little bit to not take a tight end here in this draft and instead go with a high upside running back to see how things play out over the last couple of weeks of the preseason. All right, Garrett, that is the end of the draft here. Let's run through this overall draft board here. Garrett, go ahead and highlight your team and run through just kind of your thoughts as you go through it.
Yeah, so first of all, the 1-3, I took Patrick Mahomes, then went with Joe Mixon, Kyle Pitts, Kirk Cousins, Michael Pittman Jr. in the fifth there, Cortland Sutton, Brandon Cooks, Kareem Hunt, Chase Edmonds, Ramondre Stevenson in the 10th. Then at the 11th, we got Sky Moore, Davis Mills, Kenneth Gainwell, Robert Tonyan, and Zamir White. And, you know, every draft you have to be a little bit fluid. I wasn't going in planning on being this hero RB, but that's what it turned out to be. Still getting Joe Mixon there late in the second round felt like a really good value. And then I just loaded up on a lot of upside wide receivers, got Kyle Pitts at tight end, happy with my quarterback position. And we're just going to have to hope that one or maybe even two of these upside running backs that we took in round eight or later ends up really panning out.
Any concern there with taking that second tight end versus taking another wide receiver? Because you only got four total wide receivers on that roster. Any concern with that Robert Tonyan pick paired with Kyle Pitts versus going with another wide receiver there?
Yeah, I thought about it. And honestly, in retrospect, I forgot that it was starting three receivers instead of two receivers. So I might have gone with, you know, ahead of Zamir or ahead of Robert Tonyan. I might have taken one more receiver. But at that point in the draft, there weren't many receivers left that are going to be that much better than guys that I'm just going to be able to get on the waiver wire. So I'll probably kind of wait and see how these last few preseason weeks go. And I'm sure I'll probably be adding another one before the season starts.
All right, for my roster here, I got Justin Jefferson at the 111, then Jalen Hurts, Trey Lance off the board at the 311, then Zeke, A.J. Dillon, Allen Robinson, Gabe Davis, Jameson Winston at the 8-2, then Damian Pierce, Michael Carter, Marquez Valdes-Scantling off the board at the 11-11. Then Nyheim Hines, KJ Osborne, Isaiah McKenzie, and Isaiah Pacheco. Again, talk through that strategy where I'm going to need a tight end at some point, but there's no pressure once we get past that 13th, 14th round or whatever to panic and take a tight end just to fill that spot, right? Get a guy who does have some upside here if we... Again, God forbid, but we get an injury or we get some clarity on a situation. Isaiah Pacheco was too good to pass up there at the 15-11 as far as the potential payoff and upside there. So got to figure tight end out in a little bit here, but Hayden Hurst still there on the waiver wire for me later on. If not, I will absolutely just, you know, close my eyes and pick up a tight end there and hope that they hit, hope they find the end zone in week one. All right, Garrett, thank you so much for taking some time out, man, to jump onto the podcast. Why don't you let everyone know what you got going on and where they can find and follow more of you and your work?
Yeah, you can find me over at Dynasty Nerds, all kinds of stuff going on. We have our GM 2.0 that'll be coming out in app form here very, very soon. So we're really, really excited about that. I have already started cutting tape for this coming season. Just cut a game of Tank Bigsby, the bowl game in all 22 there. So we are going to be hitting the ground running with that, make sure that we have the best film room out there for everybody. And then if you want to interact with me, you can find me on Twitter at Dynasty Price.
Always appreciate the chance to get onto a podcast and chop it up with you, Garrett. Thanks again for coming on. All right, remember, trophysmack.com is where you can go to get your championship trophies, championship belts, and these beautiful championship rings here. Go over to trophysmack.com, enter in the code playbook when you check out. You're going to get a free ring alongside any championship trophy or belt that you purchase. Trophysmack.com with the code playbook at checkout. All right, that'll do it for Garrett Price. I'm Kyle Yates, and we'll see you next time.